My name is Ladislav. I'm from Melon Technologies, and in this talk I'm going to do some sort of battle of 3D rendering stacks, Cesium.js versus VTS Geospatial versus iTowns. So first, what the Melon Tech is about, that's the company I come from. We are a software development company in 3D mapping business. We have main project, which is called VATSTENA. It's a real computer vision and deep learning driven reality capture pipeline. It basically takes aerial imagery using standard photogrammetry, turns them to geometric reality, and increasingly more, we turn them using machine learning to some sort of semantic reality. The second project, like main focus of this talk, is the VTS Geospatial, which is basically a 3D data fusion virtual landscape streaming and rendering system or framework or ecosystem. Basically, you take all those 3D models and DEMs, orthophotos, vector data, basically everything. It fuses them together and it allows them you to stream them to various clients across different devices, form factors, and systems. We have a WebGL-based JavaScript client for web. We have C++ client for desktop. And we also have the Unity plugin. So, come on in. Come on in. If you are there, still come on in. There's some space in front row. Yeah. I have enough place around here. So, good point. Cool, and we get more airflow also. Okay, so what are the applications of VTS Geospatial? It can be virtual reality or augmented reality, some interactive simulations, maybe gaming with the Unity plugin, for example, or of course geospatial 3D mapping. So what's the aim of this talk or core of this talk? We shall have a look on what are the options for 3D geospatial data rendering. So at least the ones we came across and were forced to learn something about and so on. We shall have a look how you work with those three rendering stacks we discovered. We do some performance comparison based on some basically standard or non-standard, but like constant example, constant data. And we will talk about interoperability between those rendering stacks. So first, what are the first options for 3D geospatial data rendering? Probably the first things that comes to mind is Cesium.js. Who doesn't know Cesium.js here? Yeah, either people are shy or everyone knows. Good. So it's an open source JavaScript library for world-class 3D globes and maps. At least that's what their web page says. It's very feature-rich, and it has a very large community and quite good support. When I myself did the examples, I got very nice support on the forum, or be it on the forum or GitHub. From that point of view, that was a kind of pleasant experience. Then you have our VTS Geospatial, which is open source and maintained by Melon Technologies. It's an integrated system for 3D virtual landscape streaming and rendering. The entire stack is open source, so that includes both front-end and back-end components. The back-end components are installable through a single Debian package, for example. And it was, from the very start, it was designed to be very lightweight and very fast, because the front-end, as it was developed as part of a big project for one client, and the aim was that the front-end will be basically facing the normal user, so usually users, not the geospatial people, are not used to waiting, so you just have to be fast and lightweight, and it's also suitable for the big data. That was another requirement. The third option we have is iTowns, which is a web framework written in JavaScript for visualization of 3D geographic data and precise 3D meshes. I think it's from, and I'm not really sure, it's from either German or French university now. If anybody knows, just correct me. French university. Okay, cool. It's based on 3.js, inheriting many of its features like post-processing, controls, working with 3D models, and so on. So it's pretty nice, kind of small project, we find out later, but otherwise it's pretty nice. Compare these 3D stacks, because they are very, very different, at least feature-wise. So we need to pick some, basically, test case. So we want to pick a test case that is, I would say, reasonably ambitious. So we won't just render a globe with orthophoto. That would be just waste of time. So we are aiming for something more interesting. And on the other hand, we don't want to push it so far that we would just throw away all the stacks, because just one can fulfill all the requirements and so on. So we need to find some like golden way. And also we want to make sure that we work with all the stacks work with most or almost the same data. Yeah. So basically, as an example, we picked sort of a basic 3D smart city web application. It's basically a global DEM with a 3D city model in 3D tiles format, overlaid with a vector layer of parcels with vector numbers, with parcel numbers. So we want to display the parcels, so those are the blue lines, and we want to display the numbers, we want to display the 3D model, we want to browse it and see how the stacks will do. Yeah, so that's just a wrap-up of what we are working with. A true 3D city model, a global terrain imagery for context, vector parcel information. The result, or what we attain with the stacks, should be as fast as possible, because some of the stacks may have some like hooks and glitches and so on, so we shall see if we can work around them. And of course, we want the result as fast as possible. So here's a short disclaimer. Of course, I'm one of the authors of VTS Geospatial, so there's no way this is not going to be totally skewed towards VTS Geospatial. So just a heads up. I'm not either Cesium.js or iTown's pro user. So basically, we just got with Cesium guys and tried to do as best as I could. But I cannot guarantee it's like the really best possible implementation. So this comparison will be inevitably biased, and so take it with a pinch of salt. Or this whole basically comparison project is on GitHub. You can just fork the repo. There is self-contained web page where you have all the examples in different stacks. So you can try it either on your own hardware, or you can try to reconfigure it and so on. So, for example, you can see if you can squeeze more performance of various stacks. Yeah, so that's the GitHub repo URL in case you want to take picture or whatever. It will be on the, I will give the slides on Twitter after the presentation. So, great. So how do you work with the 3D rendering stacks? Basically, how do we configure or make this example happen in those stacks? So let's start with data ingredients. So we'll have a city model in 3D tiles format, because all 3 stacks, Cesium is of course native to 3D tiles. VTS Geospatial can convert 3D tiles on the input to some format we use. iTowns also say they can use 3D tiles. So we pick the 3D tiles format. We'll need a global DEM and imagery. We'll take from a Czech bureau of, don't know the exact name now, but just download the GeoJSON with parcel information. And that's about all regarding the data. How do we configure this all in VTS Geospatial? It's just like from a train configuration, fast overview. I won't go into technical details. Basically, you encode the city model into VTS tileset using this tool that's part of the package you install with VTS Geospatial. You configure the global DEM and imagery to be used in VTS MapProxy that can be done, as Andre said in the first talk of this block. For example, using the map proxy setup resource script, or we will use the terrain or imagery available off the shelf from MelonTech. But there's just no you can basically do this yourself with your own data. There are no glitches or hooks. And we will basically convert the parcel information from GeoJSON into MB tiles using the open source tool from Mapbox called TipCanoe, because VTS can stream like tiled vector data, and MapProxy, VTS MapProxy, that's one of the VTS geospatial servers, takes care about, because of course all the data or the vector data are just 2D. There are no heights associated with them, so you need to add heights to each point. So this is what MapProxy takes care of, like on the fly. Basically, you can. If you go to GitHub repo, there are all the details about the configuration. How we configure this in Cesium? Cesium uses 3D tiles natively, so that's fine. Here, because we don't actually want to use Cesium Ion, because it's like paid service, it's not open. So instead, we will use again VTS MapProxy to serve Cesium terrain, which does basically the same as the Cesium Ion does. It's just completely open source. We'll configure the MapProxy to serve TMS imagery. That's again the like tiling the Cesium uses. And here we actually will like pre-height code all the data, because Cesium, of course, it can do height coding on the front end, but when you pour like a few megabytes JSON of points there, it will take some time. It won't be too much usable, because it will be very slow. Like when you move, it will load new terrain and it will like re-height code all the points that fall into this tile. So we'll do a favor to Cesium in this way and just pre-height code all the data, so it can just render them as they are. Or if you have the smaller files, that would be the case. You would go for the like front-end height coding. Yeah, so that's basically what I said. High-coded GeoJSON, true 3D tile city model, terrain imagery, all tied up or bundled in the JavaScript application. So for the iTowns, that was actually a bit bummer, because through it looks that it supports 3D tiles. I think it supports only like the 3D objects. Actually, it doesn't support yet like the continuous mesh. So this was the best thing we could attain with iTowns, and that's basically where we stopped, because we already like burned a lot of time there. So it's just basically black, untextured mesh. So the textures, I think, are not yet implemented, and we didn't dig anymore into that because we don't know the system, and it was very tough. So basically, iTowns effectively dropped from this comparison. Too bad, but it probably was bound to happen or something like that. So. So the performance comparison. Here, maybe I'll switch quickly to the GitHub, where you can see here is basically the GitHub repo. Here you have the web page, and here you have like VTS implementation and Cesium.js implementation. So VTS implementation, we have network. That's good. So it loads the city, it loads the vectors, and here you go. Cesium is kind of the same experience for the network, will not give some glitches. So again, it loads the tiles, loads the vectors, numbers, and it will display the lines. So I'm actually like a bit proud of myself. I made it really look really similar in both systems, because it was like weeks of work. You know, no one will like praise me for that. I have to praise myself. So yeah, and basically here, what we did, we just fired up the Chromium's performance monitor in like Div console and watched the FPS when you move the map. watch some memory consumption and so on. So we got some results that I'm going to present. Just I think like you can, it's very nice. You can try that. It behaves kind of in very similar fashion, with the differences I'll mention when we get to the performance comparison. Cool. So yeah, that's the live demo. Definitely go there, try that. And so this is what we got from Chromium Performance Monitor, basically. The VTS Geospatial, it basically none of the stacks will run on 60 FPS once you pour in some solid data. So when you move the map, in case of VTS Geospatial, the frame rate drops to like 35. The CPU consumption goes basically up to nearly 100% when you move. But when you stop, the CPU drops and everything gets as you should or as you would expect. The JS heap, I'm not really sure what this parameter means, but I don't think it just relies to total consumed memory, but it's probably like how big is the JS heap. Okay, so it's 75 megabytes, and when I tried like what's the actual like RAM consumption through just HTOP utility, when you basically turn on the initial view and when you turn the tab off, so it's something like 800 megabytes. When we go to the Cesium, it gets kind of interesting. When you are moving, the FPS actually drops down to 15, which is kind of like half of what VTS Geospatial does. The CPU consumption is also a little bit higher, and the main difference is that the CPU consumption actually like stays very high even if you don't move the map. I actually like try to dig into this, and it turns out there's Cesium has some like parameter that will allow you to basically like stop rendering when you are not moving the map, and that works if you may just turn the lights off. Great. And it works well until you pour in the vector data. It somehow turns off this parameter and it will continue rendering on and on, and the fan will just spin up. You know the story probably. Also, the JS heaps somehow higher, and the HTOP measurement again, it's somehow like double the memory we use. So that's like the hard numbers I got. If I like should interpret them or like give some very personal, I'm not sure if I want to do that. okay, basically, like a conclusion. If I was doing like some like really small pet project, I probably wouldn't have a problem to go for Cesium, because it really has lots of features, and I can get some help. If I'm going to do something big or worst, like user facing, I would probably stick with VTS Geospatial. And in the end, the very last thing. About the interoperability, we have still like 2 minutes, because there are some like silver lining to these terrible numbers. So we have 3D tiles, which is a pretty nice format, and it's already widely supported, or gained enough traction to be widely supported in commercial photogrammetry engines, including ours, Vadstena, and many others. So that's in this case, it's a like good transport format. Through it has like only partial support in iTunes, but I don't think it's actually like 3D tiles fault. This little nice thing about VTS Map Proxy actually working as a Cesium terrain provider. So if you are for some reason trying to go big with Cesium, and you have some fundamental problems with Cesium Ion. So basically you can go with MapProxy, which does the similar job if you are not afraid to set it up on your own and configure. So that may be a way to go for you. So that's probably everything I wanted to say. We are quite on time, that's nice. And if there is anybody who can still talk after the last evening's party and has some questions, so I'll happily answer them. Okay, here's the first question.
If you could add Terra.js to the check. Yes, because they use Cesium engine and they have better performance because they stop the loop to re-render stuff. So I think it might be more interesting to check that instead of just pure Cesium.
Yes, that's a good point. You all heard it because you had the mic. That's cool. I don't need to repeat it. That's a good point. I ran across the Terra.js just basically when I browsed the this year's talk. So it's new information for me. Otherwise, I would include it definitely. I would say like it's already like partially answered by including the Cesium because it still runs on the Cesium, and I guess that like turning off the loop, it's just that parameter like render whatever false or something like that, which does the job when you don't have the vector data, or at least to my knowledge, or I don't know if they fixed it already. Oh, here's another question.
I'm one of the Terra developers. As far as I can tell, unfortunately, even using Terra, Cesium does struggle a bit with vector data. So I was wondering, when you were developing this and experimenting, did you get a chance to compare performance when you didn't have that vector overlay on top?
Yes, so if I did get a chance to compare the performance if I didn't have the vector overlays. I think at one point I did turn it off, but FPS, it was kind of the same, just the CPU basically got nicely. It still was around like 5-10% when you didn't move the map, so it was definitely better, but still it wasn't this kind of zero-ish as with VTS Geospatial. So that's what I can remember. Like I probably can't do more or can't get more into detail because I don't remember it. Okay, another question? Okay, there.
Do things work and how's the performance on mobile devices?
Okay, so the question was about the performance on mobile devices. So regarding Cesium, I think it's still a front-run library, so you will run it on mobile device just through a browser, at least to my knowledge. When you go to VTS Geospatial, you can also run it in web browser, but running it on mobile through WebGL in web, it's kind of you will really not get the optimal performance. But VTS has like native C++ library, so you can write the apps on mobile like natively using the C++ library. So that would be the way to go with VTS Geospatial. With iTowns, I think it's still on the web with Tree.js. So that's again the similar issue. Okay, there was a question.
Okay. So, in terms of performance, that is very interesting. But in terms of functionality, you have some comparison, over comparison between this product.
Okay. So the question was performance is one thing, and what about the functionality? That's why I picked performance comparison because. not that we like lack the functionality. For example, the VTS Geospatial has like tons of geographical functionality based on the vector data. Like Cesium can't even actually like stream vector tiles, as at least to my knowledge. I'm not sure if they already support it. I think there was a ticket for that. I'm not sure how far they get. But with VTS, you have these like tons of cartographical functionality. Andre had like two talks about that, and of course, like Cesium has many features. Like you can basically play with all the objects that you have in memory, but it's comes with this cost basically, and it may come with this cost also when you don't actually like use those features, which is a kind of, I would say it's not optimal behavior. Like I like the approach like pay for what you use, don't pay for what you don't use. So that's it. But I definitely give it to Cezium that it has more like features on the like playing with the rendering and so on. So, yeah.
What is the configuration of the hardware on which did you test the performance? I mean, especially the processor, GPU, and.
Okay, so the question was what's the hardware configuration where I did test. I did it on this very very laptop. I think it has. I'm not sure if it has integrated. It probably doesn't have integrated GPU. It's like 8 gigabytes of RAM, and I'm not sure about the CPU now. But it's some kind of like higher end laptop. So it's not desktop, but it's high end laptop. But it's not like this office desktop or office laptop. I think it's like the upper class of the hardware. Okay. Any more questions? I'm not sure if we have some time. Yeah, we have still. Probably not. Not sure. So, if there are. Okay, so maybe one last question. Okay.
I was wondering why you didn't include NoSeBepurb in the API in this comparison. I know that you cannot visualize 3D city models with NoSeBepurb, but it is one of the prominent examples, I believe, in among the virtual globe APIs for web.
So the question was why didn't we include NoSeBepurb Whirlwind? Yeah. So it's mostly as you said, like it doesn't support the 3D, and it's like the major part of the presentation for us. So. Like we could make an example like just I never used the NoSeBepurb Whirlwind, so I can't really tell, so I'm sorry in that. Okay, so thank you for your attention. I'm sure we are just on time, so thank you.